tuning into Podcast Viewfinder. Thanks for tuning in to this week's Podcast Viewfinder. We look at the world around you, the news, movies, video games, music, TV shows, social media, and commercials to see what worldview they promote. Everything pushes a worldview, and we want to help you find your view.
They call it the Death Star. There's no better name, and the day's coming soon when it will be unleashed. Hey, everybody, I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
And I'm Chuck.
I'm Adrian.
And I'm Luke.
Welcome to Podcast Viewfinder, episode 84. Chuck Elliott is joining us.
Wow,
I'm so excited that Chuck. We've been trying to get Chuck on the show since day one.
Every week.
How many years ago?
I know.
Since Street Lethal.
Chuck and I used to have a radio show.
Back in the day.
And Chuck, do you think this is going to be a good episode?
I think this is going to be a fantastic episode because you know what, Chris?
What?
I have a time machine.
What?
And I went fast forward in time.
How far?
To about an hour and a half from now. And the streets were erupting with praise. People were like, you know,
episode.
You need to go post a day.
Yeah, you gotta go a day because this won't post.
That's why they were erupting.
So excited.
Because it was posted.
No, I mean, the news tonight erupts. And people are like, oh my gosh, what happened?
It's not posted until tomorrow.
No. I have a time machine. Don't judge me.
Okay?
And they're just like, it's an incredible episode. Episode 84 goes down in the books.
All right, good. So, hey, we start off with what we've been watching, listening to, reading, all that stuff. I saw Suicide Squad this week. Has anybody seen that?
I have. I thought it was
I read it.
Fantastic.
It wasn't great.
Well,
it wasn't great.
Here's why it wasn't good. Because there's no main character, and if there's no main character, there can't be a plot.
What?
Wow. I don't know.
Whoa.
I just made that up.
What?
We need to run that through.
Yeah, that is the time machine.
And you decided this when?
I think I heard it by teachers say one time, but he probably said it a lot better and different. No, because he was talking about Star Wars Episode 1. He said there's no main character. It's like, so therefore it like flounders because you don't have a...
I had a main character. His main character was garbage, though.
No,
Anakin Skywalker.
Anakin was not the main character.
The main character.
No, whoa, go back to Suicide Squad.
Okay, so
Suicide Squad. Said this was not good.
Okay, because there was no main character for me. Like, first of all, it went through like 10 different characters and like their backstories in like 5 minutes. And so you're like,
okay,
all right, who are these people again? And then you have this one guy and he likes this girl, but the girl like turns into a witch on occasion. so
no, like
the plot's kind of
like
weird.
A real witch. Like she has a broom.
Yeah,
I haven't seen the movie.
She's like an ancient one or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. She's like a voodoo witch.
Yeah, it's crazy. So,
okay, got it.
That took a turn I was not expecting.
Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, sorry. Well, that's at the very beginning.
I'm not going to watch that.
Okay.
I
like the idea of it. The reason it's called Suicide Squad is because it's this group of bad guys, and they're like, hey, we're going to make you, we'll put these chips in your brain that will blow your heads up if you go against orders or do whatever, but you got to do these crazy missions. Because you don't care about your life anyway. So, but here's what I got from it, like the worldview of it, is that there's not really such thing as good guys or bad guys. Because the good guys do some bad things, and the bad guys do some good things. We'll probably talk about this more with Rogue One, because there's some of that in that as well. But it's just like, because you don't really like any of the characters. That was the thing. I was like, okay.
Is Suicide Squad DC?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. It's gonna
I feel like that's their...
That's the problem.
That's their worldview. Yeah. No. I think all their movies portray that worldview.
Yeah, and the other problem is like, whereas like the Avengers, when they come together for the Avengers movies, like you've had movies leading up, so you know these characters and care about them. And this one, you're like, I don't really care about these characters. They're kind of like jerks because they're criminals. And then you have like one guy that's not, I mean, he's like the leader soldier guy, but...
Will Smith.
No, no,
what about El Diablo?
Who's that?
I don't even know. He was the fire guy.
Oh.
He was the only person you could actually like because he didn't want to use his power.
I'm talking about Kinnaman, the guy that's like the leader of the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, and I'm talking about the one character who you might actually like.
You're talking about Rick Flagg?
No. Yeah.
Played by Kinnaman?
Yeah, Rick Flagg.
No, I'm talking about a different character who you might like.
I know, but I didn't like him.
Why not?
I don't know.
Because
you don't even know who he is. Because
he killed his wife and kid.
And he wanted to repent, and that's why he didn't use his powers.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, all right. So Suicide Squad wasn't great. It was alright. I won't ever watch it again. But the only good thing about that movie was the trailers. They were so good. Okay.
Just like Logan.
Alright, yeah.
Probably.
Alright, James.
You know, I've been playing. I got a PlayStation 4.
Yeah, you did. Two of them. Welcome to the family.
I was thinking about my job, and I was like, I really want to do a better job as a pastor. So I bought a PlayStation 4 because all of these young people, that's all they do. So I was like, this is great. So I actually, you know, it's fantastic. I played Uncharted 4, which is like a movie.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so it's great. And he's, no, he hasn't. You know, it's going back. It takes place with him, Nathan Drake, and his brother. And so they're reminiscing, but there's always something going on. So they have to find a ton of money or his brother's going to die.
Yeah, he is.
So that's where I'm at. And it's really, really good because you're like, okay. They really portray Nathan Drake as a good, he's like a family guy now. But then you're reminded, you're like, oh, he kills tons of people.
Oh, he's a mass murderer. Yeah, that guy just...
I'm like...
IGN did a special, and they went back and counted how many people he's killed throughout the games. You're like, yeah, that guy is...
Every like prison. Action game.
When I was his brother, because they're really only thieves, right? I mean, they really only go and try to steal stuff and treasure. But Sam, his brother's breaking out of prison in a third world country, and a drug lord gives me a gun. I don't want to shoot people. I'm like, okay, I'll be able to make this without shooting people. And then I start shooting people. I'm like, oh, wait, it doesn't matter. Well, it's a video game, first off. But he's probably a bad guy anyway because Nathan Drake's killed so many people.
He does murder lots of people.
Yeah, so that was good. So that's what I've been up to.
Last of Us, that guy kills a lot of people.
Yeah, he's a bad guy. They're all bad guys. Okay. Adrian.
Well, we skipped someone.
We're going back. But Adrian wrote something down.
Oh. He did. I beat Mario Galaxy 2 on the Wii U.
Awesome.
When did that come out?
So, finished that.
About a year.
Oh, I just started on Thanksgiving, thank you. So it has only taken me 3 weeks.
I thought you've been working on it for years.
Since it came out? Man, that's me and the witness. I've been playing that game so long.
It wasn't too hard. This one wasn't.
Mario Galaxy 2 got a perfect 10 on IGN.
It was good. It was a fun game.
What's the world view of Mario Galaxy 2?
There's different worlds. There's a bunch of different galaxies.
So you have optional worlds.
It's not okay to kidnap princesses. That's the world view.
Yeah, that's really it. It's not okay to create your own world.
And turtles are worthless unless they're red, and then you can kill a lot of people with them.
What?
Okay. That's from Mario Kart. Anyway, we're going to talk about Christmas movies, but there are two that I had never seen before that I've chosen to watch this year. Christmas with the Cranks.
Nice.
I'd never seen that. And Scrooged with
Bert. Oh, how was Scrooged? I've heard that's really good.
It is terrible.
What?
It is bad.
It's a really bad movie.
Oh, everybody I've talked to really likes that movie.
Both of those movies, I think, are ones that if you grew up with, you would love them.
Okay.
Yeah, but right. Coming in straightforward... No.
Has anybody who's seen Scrooged?
Nah, I haven't seen it.
Nope.
No. Okay.
Nobody. I've seen half.
So mean, it's bad.
And then I stopped.
Yeah. Okay.
So right. I can't give you a full review.
It just it could be okay, but he like yells the whole time, so you just feel like everything he says is yelling. So
he's really angry.
Yeah.
Why are you yelling? All right, Chuck.
Yeah.
What have you watched or listened to or read this past week?
I watched the first Home Alone on Saturday night.
Oh.
First time?
No. Oh. I haven't seen it in a long time, but it was exciting, and I forgot about all the little curse words that are in there, because I watched it with my kids.
Yeah, we watched it with our kids.
Yeah, I was like, I forgot that was in Home Alone.
Yeah.
So that was good. I enjoyed it. do you just want to hear about one movie? I don't know how this goes. If I'm
yeah,
going to do something different.
No, that I mean, what was the world? What's the worldview of Home Alone?
What's the I don't know.
Don't leave your kid home.
Don't leave your kid at home. I forgot how mean they were to Kevin in the beginning. I was feeling bad for that kid.
Yeah,
they're really mean.
They're
to
really
him.
Rude. You know, when that uncle calls him a jerk, and then I get mad at the dad for not punching the uncle in the face when he calls his kid a jerk in front of everybody. Don't talk to my kid that way.
I
haven't watched that movie since I have kids. So how my worldview has changed, and my perception on things has changed as I watch movies as an older individual.
Yeah.
And having my kids with me. So my screening process is much different now. And I have to tell my kids when all these booby traps are being manufactured, don't do that.
Yeah, we told them that.
Because it'll kill people.
Yeah,
these will actually
kill people. My daddy doesn't want to step on a nail.
That's what I'm worried about showing Three Stooges to my kids, because Sonny will come hit me in the head with a hammer. I'm like, no, no!
He lived a good life.
But
I watched Moana.
Ooh.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. What's the worldview on that thing?
Oh, man.
We talked about that last
week. You've
already
saw that? Okay, I missed it. Sorry.
No, no, you can answer the question.
This is your section.
You can tell us what you like.
Your 2 minutes are...
I felt like there were things in it I needed to make sure that I corrected with my boys, like the mystical things, to say that like those powers are just, they're magical, but it doesn't mean it's the same thing. And like the spirit and the different things, like that's not the same spirit of God. So... I think that as I look at things, I'm just questioning how much do I need to filter to make sure it's appropriate, like, theologically, and they're not shaping wrong worldviews.
Right.
Or can it just be fun? Because I don't want to be the hyper-spiritual, non-fun person that's like, Jesus is the only real answer, son. Like, that you kill the fun out of everything, but I don't want them to
really
be shaping...
But he really is the only answer, Chuck.
Thank you, Chris.
Are you going to read Harry Potter?
I haven't really been big into Harry Potter myself.
But can
so
they read it?
Could he read it? You know,
if they wanted to.
I don't know.
You
I haven't processed
that. If
you
didn't,
I don't know.
With the movies, because my wife and I went back and watched Honey, I Shrunk the Kids because it's out on Netflix. Because we wanted to show that to our kids, we're like, there could have been a lot of stuff here that we didn't realize, but it's not. It was really good, so I'm excited to show that to my kids.
Which
so,
movie?
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh.
And I did watch Pete's Dragon this week too. I know it's on my segment, but Adrian,
I
don't.
You.
What? I didn't cry. No. I don't know what part you were talking about. Angela didn't either. Like just at the end.
I'm just have a person with a heart.
Yeah, well, was it the end part?
No.
I don't know what part. Okay, well, you can tell me later.
All right, my turn and we're done.
Yeah.
Okay. No, what have I watched Rogue One.
Yeah, we all did.
We all
except
did.
Chuck.
But I also, I don't know if we'll have time to talk about this, but I watched the Blade Runner trailer, the new one.
Oh.
And I just want to mention, I know it's not like a real thing, but I hated that trailer. It ruined the original movie. Like, so I don't know if you guys know this. Blade Runner is an old movie. Spoiler alert.
It's an old movie?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
One of the themes is the guy, what's his name? Harrison Ford? Is he a replicant? And they basically say he's a replicant in the trailer because a hunter's going to try to find him and kill him.
Would someone translate replicant for me?
Yeah, I don't know what that is either.
Robot.
He's a clone.
Okay, got it.
So
replicant.
It ends.
I thought it was a clone.
Yeah.
It ends basically the original with saying, oh, he could be a robot himself who's trained to kill other robots and he doesn't know.
Okay.
I don't like Blade Runner
Terminator
anyway.
And now Harrison Ford going to be in it?
Yeah, he's in it. He's in the trailer.
He's so old.
He pulls out his gun and Ryan Gosling looks at him.
It sounds like he has a main character.
He died in A New Hope, or Force Awakens, I mean.
He probably has a contract
he didn't die.
Where he dies.
Oh, he dies in every
that's
movie.
It. I've been reading boring books.
Wouldn't that be great? So all the movies that they're making that had Harrison Ford in them, he is contractually obligated to come in and die in that movie.
He wrote it in his contract.
The next Indiana Jones 6. Was there a 5? I mean, Indiana Jones 5. Well, I don't know if there's a 4th one, but Indiana Jones 5, he's going to come in and die. Okay. All right, so it's time for Florida Foibles. This is where we look at Florida and the crazy things that they're doing. So,
yes.
So since it was since it's Christmas time, we're gonna do a positive one. So
what happened?
We'll see.
Sort of positive.
Can we still make fun of it?
Oh, it's a crazy lady.
Okay.
She's 21 years old. Yanice Ho. That's her name.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. She's a Christmas child. So she travels by rollerblade.
Of course.
And she's going from Savannah, Georgia to Miami, Florida by rollerblade. And so as she goes along, she's documenting this on her blog or whatever.
Sure.
But she doesn't have any money.
Okay.
And she's relying on the kindness of strangers to help her along.
She hasn't made it out of town yet.
No, she's been shipped twice.
Wait, what?
It's a verb.
Shib is a verb?
She's been shibbed?
Yeah, shibbed is a verb.
Twice?
No, I'm kidding.
What does that even mean?
Shibbed is a small knife shanking you make in prison.
I did not
shank
know
somebody
that is.
To get shibbed.
So, a shib?
How's she going to make it if Hitchhiker Bot can't even make it
Hitchbot.
Hitchbot
can't make
but
it.
She's on rollerblades. So yeah, so she stays, she said she has yet to, she sleeps in a bed every night. So she's just like rollerblades and talks to people and tells her, like, she explains what she's doing and they're like, oh, come stay at her house.
Yeah,
really?
Of course.
That's creepy though. That could be
I
bad.
Know, right?
Yeah.
So
we got a barn.
There's one, so she says, desperate to avoid a night spent on the street, 21-year-old Yanice Ho knocked on a stranger's door for the first time. So she had to knock on a door, because usually people ask her to come. The older woman from Amelia City answered begrudgingly and listened to Ho's plea. She said I was brainless. That's what, but they, she like convinced her and they talked for a long time. And then the lady said, I changed her life and she changed mine. And so, but she just like talks about
brainless.
Traveling and doing all this stuff. And she's hoping to make it to Miami, Florida and have enough money for people to send her to Hong Kong to go visit her family.
What?
So she's already got $600.
Basically, she's super lazy.
She's trying to make it That's home all lazy. For Christmas.
Oh, she's...
I love playing the role of stranger, she said, of a stranger. So
okay.
Then,
while I'm on rollerblades.
So her next trip is going to be from Europe to Asia on rollerblades, and she's going to get a film crew.
You start in Russia, and you end in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
She won't have money or places to stay. She won't have fear, she said. I just have faith. I'll meet good people.
You know what this reminds me of?
Yeah, love.
But Forrest Gump, when he ran across.
He wasn't asking for rides, though.
But he probably got
a... No, she's not asking for rides. She's rollerblading.
She's just asking for a place to stay.
Yeah.
He probably had places to stay.
So she's turning down rides.
Yeah. He's like, I don't need your ride.
The whole point is the rollerblade.
Nah.
Look, I think she's
you
dumb.
You think she's getting rides?
Yep, I do.
Do you have any proof?
No, I think she's... I don't know. I'm not buying it all.
So, the person that wrote the article said, I only met her for an hour and she changed me too. We met in the parking lot of Orlando Sentinel Building in downtown Orlando. She skated up to me as I strapped on my own pair of rollerblades for the meeting. I keep them in my car for special occasions. So I'm like, this is the article. Is
Whoa. The journalist keeps rollerblades in the trunk of her car for special occasions.
And I know someone who used to do that.
Meets a rollerblade.
I'm not.
James
Helm.
Roller skates.
Yeah, I'm not buying it, Chris.
Rollerblades and roller skates.
I'm calling phony here.
Why?
I just am.
This is from the Sun Sentinel.
I don't care.
She came over to the office.
This is a reputable source.
No. Not buying it.
Or she just made up the whole story in the office.
Yeah.
You can follow the
she
lady's
keeps rollerblade.
Story here.
No, she made up that character as well. They were low on stories.
She calls her name the Bladress.
They were low on what stories that at that Florida
Bladress,
newspaper.
Like,
oh, Bladress.
She made it up.
But it's spelled Bladress.
Wow, she got
he said Bladress.
The Bladress.
Bladress. Bladress.
Like the Blade Runner.
Blade.
That's the blogger's name?
Bladress?
Or that's the journalist's name?
Oh, no, the lady that rollerblades is named the Bladress.
Of course it is.
But I called her wrong name. Sorry.
Whatever.
At least I'm not a pretzel.
Do you have any real stories, Chris?
No, that's a real story.
We're going to fable.
So that, real story. Like, okay, so okay, her worldview.
Chuck's worldview is
a tall tale.
Cynic.
Look, so, but she says her worldview. She said, we have to be aware and conscious, but don't be cynical or judgmental. She said, I want to show people there's more light than darkness in the world. If bad things happen, they're supposed to happen.
Ooh. Whoa.
Whoa.
Hitchbot died. She's going to die too.
Oh, it's fine.
He was a robot who had no...
And he only made it from, like, Maine to Pennsylvania.
He made it everywhere else on the planet except the United States.
America.
So, if Mrs. Blade Runner gets mugged, she's going to say it's supposed to happen.
Yeah. Her shivings.
Her shiving.
Let's see if
me shivved again.
She'll have a story to tell, I guess.
Well, yeah.
If she's still alive.
All right, so yeah. if you happen to be in that area and you're a listener and you see the Bladress... then help her out. Give her a place to stay. Give her a hot sandwich. Hot sandwich? I don't know. Hot meal is what I meant to say. Hot meal or a sandwich?
Yeah, hot sandwich.
Hey, I'll do like a good hot sandwich. So
not toasted. Just
all right. It's time for Goes the Culture, our segment where we talk about the pop culture around us. So this week, James, what were the three top movies?
Well, you know, Star Wars... The Rogue War, Rogue One,
the Star Wars
was the top one. So it came out, made $155 million in the U.S. and then like $290 million worldwide. So you know, first good week, I think. I think they've done.
Wait, isn't that a Disney film?
It is a Disney film.
That's a trillion dollar company.
Yeah, $1 trillion company. They're on the rise. Well, okay. Wait, Adrian, you went and saw Rogue One opening night.
I did.
Okay, tell us about that experience, because this is a great story.
Oh, my goodness. Okay,
Wait, first of all, what theater did you go to?
We went to Showplace East.
Oh, you did? Oh, I thought you went to AMC. Okay.
No, we went to Showplace East.
All right.
So, last year, a group of us went to Force Awakens, and we had to wait an hour in line. There were lines everywhere, roped off. we had like lightsabers and we were dressed up and all this stuff. So we were like, all right, we're going to meet an hour before the movie again. And it's going to be so fun. We show up and there's no one there. And so
Did you dress up?
There's not even a spot for a line, is there?
No, there wasn't a spot for a line. So I asked the ticket lady, I was like, What's going on? You know, and she's like, "We've only sold 20 tickets, so you don't have to be here this early."
Oh man!
So we all just kind of went and got snacks. And
did you go ahead and buy your tickets then?
No, we bought tickets early, like in advance.
They were the 20 people.
Yeah, we were the 20 people that bought tickets. So we get into the theater finally, like 10 minutes before it starts.
Finally, you didn't have to wait. That was your choice.
I know, but they were there early.
Yeah, we were there so early.
So
we get in there, and the theater is probably 85 degrees, I would say. And usually, it was super hot. And then it smelled like pee. I don't know why. And then
I can guess why.
There were six other people in the theater.
And that's which one?
How are the other six people dressed?
Normally, like even the lone dude by himself, like I'm the true fan here, and I'm gonna see it as early as possible, kind of guy.
Oh, did you invite him to sit over with your group?
No,
he's probably wearing a Star Trek.
We also had to take our lightsabers back to our cars because they don't allow weapons in the theater.
A weapon? You could have said it was a.
I forgot that one.
What? That's an important piece. Oh, you could have treated it like a cane, you know, a walking stick.
No.
Do they allow those?
So
no,
they
knew.
Don't.
They were on to us.
They knew.
Those are lightsabers.
So anyway, because it was so hot, one of the people we were with fell asleep.
I fell asleep during this movie.
My husband left like 3 times because he had to go get water and like cool off.
Just keep hydrated.
Yeah. And
he got rickets.
Wait, did none of you guys tell the manager that it's hot?
No, why would they do that?
Why would you complain?
So,
could open up the emergency exit at the bottom.
Anyway, we went back today to see it at AMC. It was a much better experience.
So you saw it again?
Yes.
James, you saw it twice as well.
I saw it in the Royal Suite the first time.
Oh,
got
nice.
Some Coke.
He didn't invite me. I was disappointed.
Sorry. It was me and Kevin.
Exactly.
Ryan,
I was surprised you didn't invite me.
And a coworker.
All right. So, okay, so that was number one. What was number two?
Number two, you know, usually number two's good, right? I mean, you're like, yeah, number two. Like, man, I finished second. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Not the case here.
What?
Moana.
Goodness.
12 million. So, you know, I mean, kind of a small gap, 155 to 12.
Yeah, well, but Moana
because Rogue One came out.
Is also a Disney movie.
Yep,
so they don't care. They're like, we're making money no matter
money,
what.
Money.
And then Office Christmas Party number 3. Gosh,
8
I hate
million.
That movie. Haven't
then
seen
Collateral
it.
Collateral Beauty was the next newest one. With 4th place, Will Smith made 7 million.
Not good.
Of course, it's done terrible in the Rotten Tomatoes.
It has. Wait. It's done terrible?
Yeah.
Collateral Beauty. It's at like 14%.
Oh, no.
I know.
Yeah, they don't like it at all.
What was it about?
I thought that would be one that we would all go see.
It's that
I know, but
now
I'm like,
yeah, I'm not going to see that now.
I will watch Passengers, which I'm.
I don't know if I'll see that, even though I like Chris Pratt.
Because you're a Pratzel.
Chris Pratzel.
Luke is our resident Pratzel.
Oh my goodness.
What's that mean?
A Pratzel is somebody that likes Chris Pratt.
And they're shaped like a pretzel.
They're Chris Pratt.
You're
fans.
Shaped like a pretzel?
I don't know.
Can't you tell?
They're Chris Pratt fans.
Underneath that jacket.
Yeah, like.
Okay.
She's a pretzel.
So, all right. We're gonna send Rogue One through the old worldview machine, ready? Okay, so Bill Wall, a listener to our show, said if we get sound effects, he's like, oh, I hate that. Those noises you guys make. So
we
Bill,
aren't making
noise. Bill Wall, this is for you.
You know what's great? I'm usually in my office next door while this is going on. Now I know what these noises are.
Yeah.
Like, why does this happen?
This is a high quality.
Yeah, this is a
high budget.
Spared no expense.
We spent a lot of money
okay.
on sound effects.
So Rogue One. Adrian's great experience of a hot pee movie.
Hold on, are we spoiler alerting?
Yes. Spoiler alerts for probably the next
I'm leaving.
15 minutes.
We still have to be for 20.
Maybe 20.
Minutes. I gotta pee, honestly. So,
wait, you've seen the movie twice.
No, but okay. I have to go to the restroom.
Go to that mega theater. Everything looks acceptable there.
just pee anything?
Pee in the corner like you do at the theater. So,
no, I just pee in my seat.
Oh, were you in screen
well,
seven?
See, they're getting, sorry. Our theater's getting new seats, so they're like, just pee in them. I don't care anymore. Well, used to clean them.
Hey, let's get back on track.
Okay, yeah, sorry. All right, thanks. Yeah. Wow,
that subject,
keep us on track.
That's because I don't want to talk about urine.
All right. So, Rogue One, everybody's thoughts.
Oh, it's the best prequel that Star Wars has ever had. Okay. It's the prequel that the Star Wars, the originals, should have had.
Yes.
This is the prequel we deserve, not the one we wanted, or whatever that Batman quote is, everybody quotes.
I mean,
okay,
it was the prequel we deserved at the time.
Yes.
But it wasn't the one we needed at the time.
Right.
So we got those three garbage ones.
Oh, man. So, yeah, this movie is a tragedy. So, I mean,
it's a tearjerker.
You know, going into it,
my sister Michelle was crying at the end.
Yeah. So, Adrian, did you cry in this
No,
movie?
I did not.
What? You cried over a cartoon dragon.
It wasn't cartoon.
A CGI dragon.
What? What do you think cartoons are?
Okay, there was lots more sentimental things.
Oh, you're right.
And you go into the movie knowing that they're pretty much all going
to
die.
Yeah, because they say in Episode 4, A New Hope,
yeah,
a lot of people died to get these plans. Yeah. Well, let's see them.
And then we get to see
them. Yeah, and then here's the movie where all of them die.
So, one thing I got to say, biggest problem I had with the movie was the characters. My favorite character was a side character. He was a robot.
Droid robot.
And that's how you know a movie's not that... their characters aren't that great whenever a character that's only seen, a quarter of the time is your favorite character.
I don't know, but like Emperor's New Groove, Kronk, I really like Kronk. He's really funny in that movie. But then when they made a movie with just Kronk, meh, not good. Too much Kronk. Same with Tomater in Cars.
I hated Tomater.
In Cars, he's really funny.
No, he's great when you have a little bit of it.
We have a tiny bit of Mater. He's funny.
It was not good.
Go back and watch Cars.
You know what? I actually agree.
I don't like Cars at all.
I agree with Luke on this one, though.
Okay.
Going back to it. Maybe they wanted you to be detached from them because they all died.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Don't get attached to these characters. You're not making another movie.
Right. I almost cried when the droid got blown up.
Oh, that
was whooping.
I almost think that the plot was like the main character in a way. So you are attached to this.
The plot was really good.
What's
happening. Because you have to be attached to the whole series.
Right.
The whole thing, in order for it to be sentimental for you to care, because you know what's going to happen next, so you're attached to that.
Right. So, I really did like the movie. I thought it was good. The first, maybe 20 minutes, I was falling asleep a little bit. It wasn't hot in the theater. I preached yesterday, and then, after that, you just, have this, it's a downtime. And
then
so,
he ate a mountain of pizza.
So, oh yeah, I did. I did. After I preached, I ate a mountain of pizza, and then I went and watched this movie. I was like, Angel's like, are you falling asleep?
You paid good money for this.
I know. And so, it's like, sorry. And so, I was good after that, but it was comfortable. It was in the dark. I'm like,
That's
but
what you normally do in this situation.
The first 20 it didn't smell of urine. But the first 20 minutes, it jumps around quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know these places, because it's like, oh, here's Sardu, here's Mexico, and here's all these different places. I'm like,
I don't think Mexico was in it.
It's Star Wars Mexico. It's Mexico Star Wars is what it said at the end of it. I don't know what this is. And then I was like, but each scene was a minute. I was like, what? I don't know what's going on. I just didn't get it. And so...
That's why I really like the second viewing.
So the second time you see it?
Because you catch more.
Okay. So, yeah. I did like the plot quite a bit. I mean, I liked... Because it's about the Death Star. You're trying to find out the plans of the Death...
The plot...
You get to see the creator of the Death Star.
You did.
Yeah. I always thought it was Darth Vader. I thought he made it himself.
Yeah. He's the Force.
Yeah, he's like...
He didn't make it.
Yeah, Darth that's Vader why Darth Vader it. Got beat.
I can't tell you the guy's name, but...
Because you can't, Urso? Because you don't remember
Urso.
Galen Urso.
Yeah, Galen Urso.
Galen Urso.
I don't know things.
Did they build it for him?
Yeah.
There was a guy who whose family died in front of him, except for his daughter. And
his wife
was
killed.
So only his wife.
Yeah. His wife was killed.
Really only one person died.
And so he decides to help them build the Death Star, but in order to exact revenge, he created the biggest flaw of mankind has ever known.
This is why I liked it, because I was like,
It explains why the Death Star blows up.
You could so easily blow up the Death Star.
Because that was always people are like, when they create this giant thing and then just have this flaw that nobody knew about. But he's like... the way he created it, he didn't know. You didn't he know didn't it was a flaw. He didn't
let everybody else know.
So that's why it was cool. Know.
Did he build the flaw into
it? Yeah, it was his revenge.
He also made himself
indispensable
so that he could build the flaw. So he might have expedited the making of the Death Star.
He sacrificed himself.
He did all the wrong things for all the right reasons.
Actually, he did the right things.
For all the wrong reasons?
If the Death Star, if he wasn't on there, the Death Star would have been built anyway.
That's what he said.
It would have never had a flaw.
Yep.
And it would have blown up.
They wouldn't have known where the flaw was.
Yeah. So does the ends justify the means? So he's like, all right, they're probably going to build this anyway. So I'm going to make myself indispensable, make sure that I can help out on it. But in the process, like, a whole planet is like. I don't say millions of people, but like lots of people were killed. But at the end,
they died before the planet was
blew up the other planet.
They blew up the base.
They just blew up the base, not the whole base. Planet.
At the end?
Yeah. Do you not watch them film?
Are you sure?
They never.
Positive.
Because they shoot
the New Hope is the only time they blew up the satellite.
But it just has.
But no, it shot the ocean because the ocean was what blew up.
Well, they wanted to take out the base. Because it
hit the satellite but kept going.
These guys have seen it twice.
It's not very good accurate. It's right. Actually not a very accurate.
Yeah, because it's supposed to just blow up a planet. Not,
yeah.
All right. So, yeah, but it's kind of like, okay, well, should he have helped do that or, I don't know.
What about the scene where he could have just let his engineers die and he could still be working on it, but he's like, you know what? They didn't do anything. No, it was me.
He was trying to get the plans or the secret plans to the right people before they actually used it.
That didn't work out.
Because he was really surprised that they had used it when they started.
They used
it without his permission.
That guy was in a bad spot. He was cut off from the entire rebellion. He knew, like, the worst person to give information to because he didn't believe him.
Yeah.
So, wait, should he have jumped in the way and said, no, don't kill them, or should he have let them die? Because people had already died. What's a few scientists who had nothing to do with it?
Because he has moral character.
He's moral character. But this is another thing about this movie. It feels like the sanctity of life, like they don't really care about life.
Except for Galen Erso.
Well, he does.
He's the only character I thought that was...
He was a good character. Man, like, Mads Mikkelsen is a fantastic actor.
Because I was like, that's what I was thinking. Is he really going to just sit there and watch those engineers just get shot? Worst part is they just get shot right in front of him, and you can see him break right there.
Yeah. They kill him anyway.
And then he gets blown up by the rebels that he's trying to help.
I know everything.
He had the worst luck.
Like, oh, really?
Again?
Because the Death Star are like, okay, let's blow up that city or whatever. Even the rebels are like, it doesn't seem like they care much about life, is the thing. Like, they're trying to preserve it, but a lot of times, see you later.
Chuck. Bye, Chuck.
Great, come back.
No, he's got to do it.
He doesn't know. He's doing something with his phone. Okay, but yeah, so it feels like they don't value life. Like life isn't valued very much in
all the Star Wars. Think about how many stormtroopers die.
I know, that's another thing. He's like,
how many stormtroopers the Jedi's kill.
Lots. So, like, and that like I also liked how they there's a lot of stuff about the. I forgot completely what I was saying. Did you say the stormtroopers?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you're funny.
Okay. What were you saying?
Man, I don't even remember.
Let's
go to the worldview machine. Okay. So, what was the first question?
What does this portray as the means to happiness?
Doing the right thing. Because at the end, it keeps coming back to... Like, no matter how bad you are, you can always do the right thing. I think, like, that's true for almost all the Star Wars movies. Like, even in the end, Darth Vader turns sort of good. Like, I mean, he's...
That's the theme for the entire Star Wars series. Like,
yeah,
shows, they're like, objects don't make you bad. It's the person. They make the choice. So they can choose to be good.
Yeah, and this one showed, like, the rebels, like, they had to do a lot of bad things to get... Well, they said they were, like, some were assassins, some were saboteurs, like, all this stuff. Like, they had to do all these things to get where they were. Like, they had to be the rebellion. They had to be spies, they're bad people, and all that. So I think what this phrase means of happiness is, like, doing the right thing. Because that's when they find their purpose and stuff.
I didn't feel like it was trying to push, like, this is how you're happy. I think it was trying to push the story more of this is what happens.
Well, I mean, not happiness, but, like, where do you find your self-worth? Like, where do you find worth And
oh, yeah. Okay.
That's a better wording.
And so, what gets in the way of their happiness or finding their self-worth?
I mean, they give their lives.
Or their purpose.
For what they believe is the right thing.
Yeah.
So that's what it's also telling. If it's worth enough.
What your life for.
So do the bad guys know they're bad guys? That's what I've always like wondered about the Star Wars world.
Stormtroopers don't know. They're conscripted at birth.
Well, think about the comment that he said when he first landed on the planet, right? The director. What did he say? He said something to that effect.
Yeah, he said the means to... Oh, gosh, I can't think of it.
You saw it this morning.
I know.
He's like, peace. Galactic peace.
Oh, yeah. He says you can have... Like, we're bringing the whole galaxy to peace. And he said, peace in the hands of, like, death and whatever. And then, and he says, well, you have to start somewhere or something like that.
And he's like, we'll get there because his wife says that. Because she's standing, because that's when she comes out. So, yeah. So, I mean, he's like, okay, yeah, you might think of it as bad, but, we got power.
So what gets in their way? I think, like, other people. Like, other people with different ideas, because they have these different ideas that collide, and they're like, these ideas aren't going to line up. So you're trying to control in an evil way. We want people to be free. So do they portray good as good and evil as evil?
Not really.
That's kind of what we're talking about.
I mean, evil, yeah. But the good side, you don't really like. I don't like the rebellion very much. I was like, these guys are wimps. They do things in a very weird way. It made it... The politics of the rebellion is like, maybe these guys are just people who aren't in power, who want to be in power. They could very well be bad people at the same time.
Yeah.
Because some of them did not seem like...
Let's keep waiting for like one guy to be a bad guy or something. Or...
Well, I mean, with all... That's what I kind of like with the Rebellion. It's like an alliance of systems, basically, who aren't in power. Some might be great, really good people, and some might just not be in power.
Yeah.
Because you remember the prequels? There was the Republic versus the Confederacy of Independent Systems?
Yeah.
Like the bad? Well, if you watch the Clone Wars, you get to find out that the Confederacy of Independent Systems isn't actually bad. They just don't like the Republic because they are abused by the Republic, and you find out that the Republic's kind of awful to these systems, and they overtax them, they don't protect them, and so it starts to blur the lines. It's like, oh, the Republic really isn't that great, and the Jedi are being used by the Republic to strong-arm all these things. Star Wars gets into some pretty,
deep,
blurring the lines of what is good and what is
bad. So, but does that come from the Force? Because the Force is like, okay, it's the good and bad, the balance of good and bad, and there's like, it's always going to be balanced. And so that means there's always going to be good and always going to be bad. So is that what, is that how they do that?
Then you have the Force users that are neither good and bad, who always complain about the good and bad people being dumb. in short terms, there is one character who is called the Bendu. He is neither the light nor the dark. And the only reason why he's active is because some guy tried to kill him. I don't know.
So, okay.
It's weird. Star Wars is weird.
But yeah, but I think they do try to blur the lines between good and evil because it's kind of like, you're like, well, I mean, Darth Vader kind of was good at the end. And like his circumstances made him bad because you go back and watch Anakin's story and you're like, oh.
Oh, he was crazy. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he was
dumb.
A bad guy. I don't think they try to blur the lines because it's like, Death Star versus people who are built on hope.
He was completely manipulated by Palpatine, though.
Yeah, but you feel bad for pretty much every bad guy in every movie.
Not Palpatine. I've never felt bad for that guy at any point.
Why?
He's evil to the core. He killed his master.
Yeah.
His master had set up the whole plan for him.
We're getting into nerd territory. Okay.
I'm sorry. I really like Star Wars lore.
So what was your favorite scene and why?
Go, Adrian.
Ooh, okay, I had two.
Oh.
Well, there goes my section.
No, I'm fast. Okay, one was in... I just loved Darth Vader's lair. Like,
Luke said he hated it.
Yeah, that's okay, funny.
It was so evil.
I know, that was great. No, the part where the guy's looking towards him, and then you see the shadow of the wall go up, and then Darth Vader's shadow is just like... on the wall. I thought that was super awesome. And then, I mean, who doesn't love the part where, like, the lightsaber just turns on in the dark and it's Darth Vader?
Oh, so it's at the end.
And then he just, like, fights his
way
through
those guys.
So both
of yours are Darth Vader scenes, huh?
He's the, like, that's what I came out of the movie this morning, the second time around, being like, I am, like, 100% a Darth Vader fan, but in the end,
everyone's a Darth Vader fan.
But that's what I'm saying. It's the only bad guy that everyone loves. And I think it is, like, you feel bad for his story, but then he's also really awesome. and
also,
like,
doesn't make sense.
Really good. And then at the end, he kind of, yeah, like you said, he comes back around a
he's
little
not really
bit.
Like, bad guy, though.
I was really glad with that last scene, because I've always wondered, how is Darth Vader so scary? And then you're like, well, okay. Scared because he doesn't run.
He never does anything.
He doesn't run.
He showed his power. I think that was the thing I got to.
Yeah,
like, he's so powerful. You got these guys who can't do anything. They can't touch him.
There are some subtle scenes in A New Hope where he chokes someone who's on a different ship. Did you not remember that scene?
It's on a different ship.
Yeah, he chokes someone on a different ship because they're talking through a video thing, and he gets angry, so he starts choking them, and he's on a different ship completely. And so that's one of the subtle where you're like, whoa.
This guy's got
get me.
Powers.
Maybe he has to see them. In
don't choke on your own ambition.
That was a good line.
All right, my favorite scene time. Some people might agree with me. It was a tearjerker. When Jen gives the droid, don't know his name.
Oh.
The gun.
Yeah.
And he just, like, is perfect with it. Like, he stops at least 40 stormtroopers from getting in. And then he realizes he's overwhelmed, so he blows up. He, like, locks down the whole place. That was great.
Yeah.
I was sad.
The stormtrooper scene. Or not stormtrooper. Yeah, the
droid.
K-9 or whatever his name is.
MK-9-712.
James Memorial. James' favorite scene?
I liked it when the blind guy started fighting.
Oh, dude, the blind guy is
great. That was
great.
He just comes out and you're like, man, he could be a Jedi and he's blind. Give that guy a lightsaber.
I'm with the Force, and the Force is with me.
This is my edit to the movie is when he walks through to, like, the master switch.
Yeah,
and he's just saying, like, I'm the Force. The Force is with me. I was so hoping that a lightsaber would come out of his cane, and then he would just, like, fight off all of the stuff coming at him.
That would
and then
ruin
he,
the movie.
That would be awesome.
Because
he's secretly
what
a
made
Jedi.
That movie
there
so
are no
great
more Jedi
is there
here.
Weren't any Jedi scenes. There was just Darth Vader scene. There was no Jedi at all. That's what I thought the movie was really good.
No, there's got to be Jedi. We love our Jedi battles.
No, there was no Jedi in the whole movie.
Oh.
Not a single
Princess
Jedi.
Leia one?
She's technically not a Jedi. She didn't have...
Her midichlorians aren't as high.
Luke didn't train her, okay? She didn't want to be trained. He instead trained her son, who kills everyone.
Yeah, that.
I'm with the Force, and the Force is with me. I'm with the Force, and the Force is with me.
Your favorite scene?
My favorite scene...
Force Whitaker.
Oh. No,
No, he was the worst character.
Force Whitaker?
Yes, he was terrible.
I don't understand.
He was over the top.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, a little like a oxygen mask. Like, you have like a regular oxygen mask. And so I'm like, nobody has regular stuff in this universe. He's like, oh yeah, I just picked this up at a Walgreens. He's like, I don't know. Yeah, just that final battle where they're like on the beach. Just I guess the scene with wait, what?
The two ships.
Oh, he runs the ship and then he goes, get the hammerhead. Oh, yeah.
Pointed out the flaw in that.
What?
What?
He said they need ballistic cannons.
Oh, the problem with the Star Wars universe is, like, they have all these TIE fighters. Yet, like, why don't the flagships take care of them with just some flak?
What do you mean?
They only have laser weapons.
Any of those words.
What's flak?
It's shrapnel that explodes that hits the strike
craft. You know, like a frag grenade?
Yeah.
Actual material?
Those TIE fighters don't have shields. They would be ripped to shreds. This is a lore thing. I don't know why Jen's brought it up. All
right. But, yeah, just that battle. But, like, I don't know. Maybe the scene with, yeah, where the guy goes out and he's walking out to flip the switch. But I also liked the pilot, where he's, like, got a, I don't know, the
pilot.
He
blows up?
Which pilot?
Yeah, the pilot, like, the
general?
No.
Of the blue squad?
No, just the one.
The pilot. They call him the pilot. The pilot that defected or whatever. The
pilot of Rogue One.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Rogue One.
There's a lot of pilots. Is that your favorite scene? Do you realize how many people are pilots in the movie? Everybody flies a ship.
Yeah, but the whole plot was around this pilot.
Yeah, the defector makes way more sense.
Yeah. That's the whole point. So, yeah, I liked his scenes. He was just a
funny guy.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, I like this guy.
I mean, that guy's caught up in the.
He's probably
conscripted to be a pilot, and then he's like, oh, I don't want to do this. And then he dies on his first day as a rebel.
Adrian, what was your second favorite scene? The ships?
The ships, yeah.
The ships. So, what's the worldview of this movie? We kind of already talked about it, right? The
hope.
People can do the right thing.
Rebellions are built.
It's never too late to make the right choice. So, all right, we said we're going to talk about this, and this may be our last episode till next year, till 2017. So,
see you guys for a whole year.
So, I posted this on Facebook a couple weeks ago. So, what makes a Christmas movie a Christmas movie? So, because there's this argument. It's all like Die Hard's my favorite Christmas movie. Sorry, Luke. That's not you saying that. But I'm just... There's people that are like, oh, yeah, it's a Christmas movie.
No, that is Luke.
But what makes a Christmas movie a Christmas movie? So you guys can answer that. I'm going to pull up my Facebook feed. And some people answered.
All right.
So go ahead. What would you guys say? How would you answer that question?
I would say one I watch at Christmas.
A movie you watch at Christmas?
Like The Muppets Christmas Carol.
Yeah, but that's...
I usually only watch Christmas movies at Christmas. So ones that have to do with, like, it's explicitly saying, hey, we're celebrating Christmas.
Yeah, so let me give you the two arguments. So the one argument is if it's a movie that takes place during the Christmas season. So Die Hard, Iron Man 3.
Love Actually.
And so it doesn't necessarily... revolve around Christmas and
you could take Lethal Christmas, Weapon, the first you could Weapon. Take Christmas time out of it and it would still be a relevant movie.
So some people said that that's not true of that other of Die Hard because the reason they're at the place is a Christmas party.
But like, they could be having a New Year's party.
Well, but he's trying to save his marriage before New Year's. There's like several things that they said you couldn't really do it without Christmas. But yeah, you could have other parties.
Christmas parties are just very classic parties that companies have, and so it's just easy to say Christmas party.
Home Alone, people would argue that that's not necessarily a Christmas movie.
Oh, they would have 100% a Christmas movie. They wouldn't have left town without it being Christmas. Home Alone 2, Christmas movie.
I think they are.
It only happens during Christmas.
We're finding out that your audience is wrong.
Okay, so the article we read about this, I think he had a good point of... If it enhances your feelings of the nostalgic feelings of Christmas, then it's a Christmas movie.
So a Christmas movie is real. It's a Charlie Daniels blog. I don't know who Charlie Daniels is, but he
wrote this blog.
Yeah, it's
a... Is this a reputable source?
Yeah. No, reputable? It's an opinion article. Like, it's not a...
all of these articles going around, treating them like fact.
So, yeah, but yeah, I said, so if it gives you nostalgic Christmas feelings... Then to you, it's a Christmas movie. But that means Christmas movies relevant.
That means any movie I see at Christmas time could be a Christmas movie, regardless of its time frame, because I'd be like, oh, I remember watching that movie at Christmas.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't agree with that.
No.
He's wrong.
Who's wrong?
It doesn't give you, like, warm, fuzzy Christmas feelings. It just is like, oh, you associate it with Christmas time.
You have to think about Jesus at Christmas time. It's a rule.
So, if the movie doesn't involve Jesus, it's not a Christmas movie?
Yep.
Actually, if the movie doesn't involve...
Peace on Earth or Goodwill Toward Man.
Jesus story, it's not a Christmas movie.
So here's what some of the people said on Facebook. I lost it. Where'd it go?
There
it
is. Well, that's what they said.
Ben Ranfield said, you watch it during Christmas season. I thought that was the best answer. Because like, oh, yeah.
But I watched Die Hard only on
New Year's
Eve.
That's what he said on that blog.
Okay, well, that's during the Christmas season.
Exactly, so it's a Christmas movie.
For you.
To you.
Okay, so...
So this
is
a relative.
Relative,
yeah. I said relevant, I meant relative. Mallory Smolin says, a guy and a girl meeting, then said guy and girl saving Christmas somehow, and then dating/getting married. Hashtag Hallmark.
How does she know that? Should you watch Hallmark? The good ones or the bad ones?
It's Mallory Smolin, so yes. Mallory Smolin's been on the show.
Bad.
Heather Offerman said, if the main part of the story takes place in December and they mention Christmas, simple but true. And that's why I said Iron Man 3. And she said, sure. So, Andrew James said it involves a nightmare, like in The Nightmare Before Christmas. And they put that little smiley face with tears going down because it's so funny. Lena Stone says snow, a lesson about family and a certain degree of corniness.
But that's Frozen, and Frozen doesn't take place anytime.
There's no corniness about Frozen.
Yeah, there is.
And I don't think that's a Christmas film.
It's not.
No. Joel.
But it has
it's snow. A winter film.
Yeah, it's a winter.
But it takes Joel place says, in the winter. I mean, in the summer.
John McClane in Gunfire, and then Rachel Heck in response says, or in the case of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Robert Downey Jr., Val Kilmer in Gunfire. So both those movies. Randy McGuire, to start with, it has to be about Christmas and should be watched during the Christmas time frame. So,
yeah.
I think it,
there we go.
And then this person said, Rayanne said, well, Ryder, that's her son, is watching VeggieTales right now, and so far it's about sharing and teaching and being kind. LOL, but most vegetable movies are. Oh, VeggieTales movies.
Because I was like, there's a recent one. Here's another one.
So,
like
John Power said, tradition.
So that goes back to relative.
Wait, if it's just tradition, could it be Fiddler on the Roof then?
Tradition. Jess White said Jimmy Stewart. Nate Van Cleve said, haha, one little Christmas movie I saw included Die Hard, Christmas list. So I guess it has to happen around Christmas time. And Heather said, that's what I'm saying. Caleb Johnson, the Hallmark Channel. That's what he said. Okay. So, all right. Yeah, I think, so is our Christmas movies relative?
No.
What?
Yes.
Absolutely.
So if he's like, hey, I like Die Hard, and that's a Christmas movie, I'm like, it's not a Christmas movie. I can watch that movie anytime.
Oh, we already decided.
I mean, you can define a Christmas movie, but then that means...
I think there's levels of Christmas movies, right? I can watch Die Hard anytime, but I'm not going to watch Wonderful Life anytime. That's
right.
Really...
I'm never going to watch It's a Wonderful
Oh,
Life.
That movie's so good. Oh, come on.
I mean, Muppet's Christmas Carol, I just really watch around Christmas time, and it's a Christmas movie. So I think there's some. I think there's levels and tears.
Tears, T-I-E-R-S, or yeah, tears like one. I'm crying.
Like tears for fears.
But a good Christmas movie to me goes beyond. Oh, I can only watch it during Christmas time. A good Christmas movie is one that you can watch any time. That's the problem.
This is relative because Luke has a different opinion. Than
I don't want a Christmas movie.
A good
movie
Christmas movie is just only works at Christmas.
No, a good Christmas movie works whenever.
No, because then it's
not a Christmas movie.
Yes,
it's just
it
a
does
good movie.
Bring you the warm fuzzy feelings of Christmas.
I know.
Like listening
That's
to Christmas
I don't get warm
music.
Fuzzy feelings of Christmas.
I mean,
yeah,
think
but
about
Christmas
things
care.
You only eat at Christmas time. You're like, oh man, I only get
Breakfast.
That caramel corn.
No, if you hear Sleigh Ride in like July, you're gonna be like, whoa, your ears are just gonna react.
Turn it off.
Yeah, your ears are gonna react crazy.
That's what it is right now. Okay?
But you hear it now and you're like, oh,
turn it off.
You're like, turn it up.
Unless it's Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, then I will punch you every single time. Oh, I hate that song.
I'm just saying, to be a good Christmas
okay,
movie.
Let's keep going.
Because a Christmas Carol, you can watch any time, and the themes you can apply to your life at any point
right.
of the day.
But I'm not going to watch Muppet Christmas Carol in February.
Why
it's
not?
Because it's done.
It's
I watch it around Christmas
over.
Time. From Thanksgiving
so there you
to
go.
So
New
are
Year's,
there, is there like a Thanksgiving movie or a summer
yeah,
movie?
Charlie
yeah, Brown.
Charlie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I've never seen
good one.
Either.
All right. So watching movies is a fun Christmas tradition. Adrian, you and your husband came over to our house for the third year in a row?
Yes.
And we
you
had popcorn and drank hot chocolate.
That long?
And well, they were
we dating, have but. Been dating before we got married.
True.
And we watch Elf. That's a tradition we do now. It's so what defines a tradition? How many years does it have to be?
One. It has to be after the first time.
So the second time you do it is a tradition.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's inaugural and then it's traditional.
So favorite Christmas tradition. So we got some other Facebook listeners. Facebook, yeah, they're not listeners.
Readers?
They're just, yeah. Shauna Adams said, baking with my mom and sister-in-law and our annual Christmas light scavenger hunt, which they have a list, and it's like it's fun. I was like, oh, this looks cool.
Yeah.
So they have to go and do certain things. Some of those things are, like, they have to go find an angel or snow globe or carolers, a reindeer on a roof.
Do people carol?
Elf, toy so. Soldiers. Yeah, they do. So they had to go find those things. Susan English had a nativity scene. Nadia said white elephant gift exchange. Heather making cookies with grandma. So a lot of them are like grandma stuff, making cookies. A lot of baking.
Great.
A lot of baking.
Luke and I are out.
Oh, yeah. Because Luke and James' grandma only makes...
No, our grandparents never baked.
Yeah, they just gave you frozen jelly beans.
And yeah. Pizza rolls.
All right. White elephant, gift exchange. Giving my kids silly Christmas pajamas. Oh, that's a fun one. I will never forget the Christmas PJs my kids gave me once. It had gnomes on them. Gnomes is spelled N-O-M-E-S, so I don't know what that means.
Yeah, that's cool up until you get older. City of Gnome. And you're like, okay, I'm done with this whole, like, pajama thing.
I'm still yet to go away from you.
So what's your favorite Christmas tradition, Chris?
Ours, we go eat Chinese food on Christmas Eve.
Ooh, it looks really jealous.
We tried to start that.
It just would
My family was just like, I don't like Chinese food. Everyone's invited to ours,
so you can come.
Wait, where do you go?
I looked up Nome. Nome is one of the 36 territorial divisions of ancient Egypt, or an administrative division of modern Greece. So they had that on their pajamas. So we go to Yinching. We've done that 20 years.
Jeez. More than 20.
Well, we've gotten Chinese food Christmas Eve.
The first year we moved here, so that was...
It's been probably 25 years.
That's before Adrian was born.
That's crazy. Because it used to be, like, it was just us in the restaurant. And, like, what I like about it, too, is, though, that we invite, my parents invite other families that, like, don't really have anywhere to go on Christmas. So we'll have, some single people. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sweet. It's my parents. Like, I'm all
in. No, you have family.
All in.
You're not invited because you have family.
What? No, I don't.
I disown them
for... Or if families, if they can't go home for the holidays. One year there was a bad snowstorm, I think, and a lot of people... had to cancel their travel plans, so then they all came.
Yeah, so we go, and we always give, like, baked goodies to everybody, so it's good. That's my favorite. What was yours, Adrian? What's your favorite Christmas?
You took mine. No.
Oh.
I mean, one that our family did was just have cinnamon rolls for breakfast every morning. Actually, no, I'm going to tell this story since we're both here on the podcast.
Yes.
My favorite tradition when we were growing up was I would get up the earliest and I would go wake Chris up. Then we would stand at the opposite ends of the hallway. Like, I would stand at my parents' bedroom door and he would stand at my brother's bedroom door, or we would switch based on the year. Then we would, like, count to three, and then we'd run in their rooms and jump on their beds and make them wake up.
It's Christmas morning!
Yeah, it's Christmas morning.
I forgot about that. That's great.
You guys are the exact opposite of our family. All right.
Luke and James, what are your favorite Christmas traditions?
Dude, I
go quick, because we're almost out of time.
Getting gifts.
So that's your...
Getting gifts.
Adrian stole mine. I was going to say cinnamon rolls.
you guys have different households.
Cinnamon rolls at Christmas time. That's pretty good. Man, I don't know. We just all get up and then we go take turns opening a gift.
It doesn't have to be on Christmas Day. It can be Christmas season.
All right, I got mine.
All right.
Breakfast, James. We always have an amazing breakfast.
Of cinnamon rolls.
We always have, like, bacon and eggs, and that's, like, a rarity. Bacon.
Yeah, bacon in that house, there's not many.
We never had bacon.
Angela Shadow, my wife said peppermint pops and steak and chicken night. So our peppermint pops is like our symphony in town. They do like a Christmas thing.
I think I've seen that before.
And then steak and chicken night, that's her extended family. And this doesn't happen anymore because the matriarch has passed away and she was always the one that bought the steaks. But they grill steaks and then somebody would make these homemade chicken fingers. Oh, it was so good. Family and food, says Danita. Rebecca, our cousin, says going to the movies on Christmas Day with the family. That's with us.
Nice.
So we always go to a Christmas movie. A lot of Christmas. Oh, Christmas Eve service. We would do that. We would go to a lot of Christmas Eve services. Now we just go to one, which I'm glad. Christmas brunch, said Ashley Bible.
Yeah.
James said getting presents. He did say that. Jess White said not having a Christmas tradition.
I like that guy.
A lot of. Jess is a girl.
I like that person.
Stockings and stocking stuffers. Jamie Painter. Changing guests. Like,
nobody said Jesus. No Jesus in here.
How is Jesus a tradition?
Yeah.
He's not a tradition?
Candlelight service and singing of carols.
What do you think Jesus
Christmas Eve service. Christmas Eve service. That's one.
I've never been to one of those.
Playing Find the Pickle. Does anybody do that? Where they hide the pickle on the Christmas tree?
Find the elf.
Elf on a Shelf?
Yeah.
Ooh, Vanessa Kuhner said making a big pot of wassail on Christmas Eve and watching It's a Wonderful Life. I love wassail.
Have you ever gone caroling and sang that one song?
What?
Here we go, wassailing.
Yeah. Oh, from the here we come waffling the.
That's wassailing.
No, the waffling one. Have you not seen?
No, I'm talking about the wassailing one, where you just keep repeating until they give you food, and then you go to the next house.
I thought that was give us some figgy pudding.
That's the same song. All
right, no, it's not. Right. Here we come, the waffling.
We're gonna wrap it up.
All right, wait, Barb Taylor, our aunt said Chinese food on Christmas Eve.
Aw, I didn't know they did that.
Did they show up for that? Maybe that's something. Jessica Wade, your sister, Luke, and she said sleeping around the Christmas tree as a family one night in December.
Man, we used to do that. And we stopped.
Did you really?
Yeah, I grew up.
Nicole McCormick, who listens to the show, I used to. Christmas movies, baking an old family recipe, sugar cookies, and Christmas music.
What cookies don't have sugar?
Pizza and Muggins, card game. All right, we're wrapping up. James, sorry. Family food, hot chocolate bar, going around looking at Christmas lights. Then we get together. All right, so I'll end with this story. So we've done that with our kids last couple years, going to look at Christmas lights. We go get we take popcorn in the car with us, go look at Christmas lights, and then go to Starbucks and get hot chocolate. But this year we were driving by this house. We've gone by it every year because they decorate crazy. There's a big Santa sleigh out front, and we've heard that Santa makes an appearance, but we've never seen him. And this year he was there. So I guess it's always the weekend before Christmas. So this guy sitting in a sleigh with a Santa suit, his grandkid is an elf, and then his wife is Mrs. Claus, and she's got cookies and hot chocolate.
Freezing.
It was really cold, but they were out there, and so we got out of the car, went over and got hot chocolate and cookies.
That's awesome.
And they gave presents. Quincy got a present, and so did Sonny. But he goes, now your brother over there. I was like, Sonny's not a boy. But
that's all right.
We didn't correct him. Like, Santa, you should know that. But it was funny because we got back to the car, and the jewelry that Quincy got was like the costume jewelry. Or whatever. And like some of it didn't fit and stuff.
Sonny
and
we're got
like,
a boyfriend.
Oh, we can do this. She got a teddy bear. And Quincy goes, you should never give a gift, never give back a gift that Santa gave you. I was like, what? It was so funny. Just the way that she said it. Like, she's like so serious about it, but she doesn't even believe in Santa Claus. So she's like,
man,
just like,
maybe she does.
Never
I
give
she
back
secretly does.
And you should never give back a gift that Santa
oh
gives
my
you.
Goodness,
it was hilarious. So, hey, that's our lesson for today. Don't ever return a gift that Santa gave you, because it's a great gift.
It's a horror movie waiting to happen.
It's from Santa.
Or Hallmark.
Hallmark. Santa's gifts. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Podcast Viewfinder episode 84. I forgot what we were doing. Hey, have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year. It may be, because we're going to be gone to Passion.
Yeah, we might not see you.
So it might be several weeks. Right. Maybe we'll do a special episode.
It'll just be me.
You know?
It'll just be Luke.
Just be Luke.
We'll do a Passion episode. So
alone
I'm going to.
You're going to Passion?
Yeah.
Ooh. I don't know when
I'm going to Passion as well.
Yeah. You're not going to Passion.
We're not at the same hotel, are we?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for listening to Podcast Viewfinder episode 84. I'm Chris.
I'm James.
I'm Adrian.
And I'm Chuck and Luke. We forgot to turn off the world view machine. Boop, 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 boop.
Okay. Thanks for listening. See you next time. See you next year.
See you next year.
Magic.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Podcast Viewfinder. Just because we talk about a game, movie, book, show, or celebrity does not mean we endorse them or the product. So we want you to use discernment about what you take in. So look it up before you consume, and see you next time. Podcast Viewfinder.